responsibility, God, that they've been given to be able to teach these kids, God. I thank you, Lord, for letting us all have those responsibilities, God, and giving us the opportunity, God, to teach and to preach, Lord, and giving us the opportunities that we have to be leaders. God, help us not, Lord, to forget that it is a responsibility, Lord. It's not just a burden. It's a responsibility, God. Help us, Lord, to study, to pray, to be close to you. I pray, God, for the service tonight, God, for Brother Davey, Lord, as he preaches the message. I pray, God, for myself in Sunday school, Lord. I pray, God, that the words will come out, God, what you want them to hear. Lord, help me not to get in the way. Help me not to mix it up. I mean, Lord, not to say anything wrong. God, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. I thank you, God, for always being good to me and faithful, Lord. When I wasn't, God, you're good to me. When I'm not good to you, Lord, you're just a good God. I'm so thankful for you this morning, Lord. And again, I pray, God, this morning, Lord, that everything is said and done will glorify and uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. All right. This morning, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to read a little bit here about the Apostle Paul. In verse 21, Paul begins to talk here in verse 21, and he says this to the Corinthians. He says, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also." And he begins to talk about himself here, and he says this, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more." And here he begins to talk about the things that he's done as a minister. He says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death oft of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, when you look at this list here, and Apostle Paul, and him up there at the start, says, "I speak as a fool, I am more," and he begins to lay out this list here. And we look at this list here and we think we've got it rough or that we've been suffering for Jesus. The Apostle Paul lays out some facts. And when he begins to lay these facts out, they're pretty hard to go against what he's saying. And all of us could look at this right here and realize, you know what, we don't go through what we think we go through. The Apostle Paul here, one thing you could be looking at what he might be saying is not only preach these things, I go through them too. And it's real easy a lot of times as we go through life to just sit here and not have any problems, nothing coming up, nothing going on, and then we see somebody else trying to do something for the Lord, and as they mess up, we can sit here and look back and say, you know what? What he ought to do is this right here, you know, or what he should do is this, or I can't believe he's doing something that way, and not realizing, could you imagine some of these people that was around Paul back then that were puffing themselves up and making themselves think that they're somebody? And then here you got the Apostle Paul who's really actually out there doing those things. And a lot of times what we need to look at is that the people that we criticize or the people that we look at and want to help out and tell them how to do things, what we ought to do is we ought to worry about ourselves first and maybe try to take care of ourselves before we start trying to worry about somebody else. Now, Paul here, he goes through this list, and I want to bring your attention down to verse 27. In verse 27, he says this, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, in verse 27, he says this, "In fastings often." Now, this ain't just because he was hungry, because he mentioned that up there in the earlier part of the verse. He says, in hunger and thirst. And then he goes on to say, in fasting, so he's separating the two. It ain't just the fact that he didn't have any money to buy him a cheeseburger. He was actually going out of his way to have to fast. And what I want to talk about this morning in Sunday school here is I just want to teach on the doctrine of fasting. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be going to a lot of places and looking at a lot of scripture. But what we want to talk about here is we want to talk about the doctrine of fasting. Now, probably 3 or 4 years ago on a Wednesday night, I taught on fasting. And I just felt like the Lord would have me to do it this morning through Sunday school. So we're going to go over it again. And there's an importance to fasting. And it's a Bible doctrine. And it's something that you should be involved in. Paul was involved in it. And he wrote 13 books or 14 books there in the New Testament. He was involved in it. So it's definitely a New Testament doctrine. It's something that needs to be done. And it's something that if you do it, there's going to be a blessing. And there's going to be some fulfillment to it. Now, the first thing we want to do is we want to think about what is it? What is fasting? What is it? What is it for? What does it do? So get two places. Get Ezra chapter 8 and Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. And get Ezra 8:21. Ezra 8, and if I can find it here, Ezra chapter 8, and Isaiah 58. In Ezra chapter 8, what I want to talk about, what is fasting? What is the point of fasting? What does it do? How does it work? What's it for? And the point is this right here. This is what it's for, fasting. What is it for? It is for afflicting your soul. That's what fasting's for. It's for afflicting your soul. It's for a lot of times what happens is our heart, it gets cold. Our soul, it gets to where it's not thinking about the things of God like it should be thinking about the things of God. Our mind gets on the things of this world instead of having our minds on the things of heaven and the things of the judgment seat of Christ, where our hearts and our minds should be. We get consumed with what's going on in this world instead of being consumed with what spiritual things there should be. And there ain't nobody immune to this right here. We've all went through it. We've all got, if we didn't get out of church, we've been backslid in our hearts, our minds, or anything else that we're going through. We get away from the things that we know are right, even though we know they're right. We still get away from them. And when that happens, there's some things that you can do. You need a wake-up call. You'll see people a lot of times, they'll be in class. I remember when we were in class when I was in school, we had a teacher there that when you'd go to sleep, she'd walk up behind you and she'd pinch you right here on the back of your arm, right there, that tender spot. Man, you'd wake up. I mean, it'd get you caught up. You'd wake up. You'd be ready to listen to some teaching then. And she'd just walk right up behind you and just pinch you right on the back of your arm when you was asleep. And a lot of times, that's what we need. Spiritually speaking, we're asleep. We look at the life. We're not praying. We're not reading our Bible. We've gotten away from God. The messages don't go to our heart like they used to. The singing's not going to our heart like it should or like it used to. And a lot of times we just need to be woken up. And that's what fasting does for you. Fasting will afflict your soul. And it's like that little pinch on the arm. It does something for you. It gets you moving again. It gets you going. Now look here in Ezra chapter 8 verse 21. It says this, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict our soul, we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." And so you see there that in Ezra 8:21, that he proclaimed a fast, and he says that we might afflict ourselves. Now what happens is, Bob Jones Sr. said this, "Everything that's bad on this earth is something that was good that's been twisted." Now you take a man and a woman that are married and sexually together. God says that's a good thing. But then you take something that's a good thing like that and you twist it, and we have pornography, you have child pornography, you have rape, incest, you have all those things that go on, and it's something that's good that's been twisted. And here in verse 21, you have the same thing. You have where they afflict themselves through fasting. Now the Catholic Church, what the Catholic Church has done is they've taken that to a different extreme. And they'll take, they'll have people hang on a cross to show that God, that they're, look, God, we're piercing our hands. You know, we're going through these things. We're doing penance to get you to bless us. Or not just getting you to bless us, because we've sinned and that's what we're doing to atone for our sins, or we're doing this penance. Now that's not what this is. What God's done, God's established fasting as a way to afflict your soul, not because you can prove your worth to God, but to wake yourself up. It gets you moving. It gets you some way or another. The reason that you're doing this is to afflict your soul, and for some reason or another, that thing works and it gets your mind and heart back toward God. Now look over in Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 5, it says this: Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? And what he's asking them here, these people have been fasting and they've been doing it wrong, and he's asking them the question, listen, is it the kind of fast I want you to do to afflict your soul? And so there again, God shows you that fasting is afflicting your soul. Now when you get into fasting, what we need to do is figure out what is the right motive to fast. Because anything that's spiritual can be done with the head, and it can just become just a going through the motion kind of thing, to where it's just a ritual and there's nothing good for it. Now there's some different things that you can fast, and it's the wrong way to do it. Look over, look at verses 1 through 4 while we're here in Isaiah. Now what they're doing here is they're doing it their own way. Isaiah 58, 1, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread it sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, what he goes through here, through 1 through 5, is he says, listen, all this has got to do with the way you want to do it. And when we begin to fast, we've got to realize that there's some wrong ways in fasting. And you've always got to be worried about whether or not you're going to do something in a ritualistic way and it just become an idol to you. It just becomes, you know, look, I've set this thing up. It's just an organized manner of doing something, and it's become a machine, and it's just the wrong way to do things. Look over in Luke chapter 18. I'll give you an example. Luke chapter 18. You have to realize when you fast that... That ain't on, is it? Okay. You have to realize that when you fast, or when you do anything, that there's a humility that's involved with it. The reason you fast is because you've realized, you know what? I'm in a mess in my life. I need God. I need something going on in my life, and I'm doing wrong. And so you get to that point to where, you know, look, I don't want to be in a mess here, and you realize you need to be humble before God, and you need to show some humility before God, and that's why you're doing it. Here in Luke chapter 18, verse 12, 11 and 12, it says this: The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, you see this guy here, as he's fasting, it's just a self-righteousness to him. Now, He is justifying himself before God because of what he does. And he's become self-righteous. Now, what we read a while ago about Paul, where he was given a whole list of things he was talking about, he did. It wasn't to justify himself before God. It was because he's sitting here with another person and trying to use it as an illustration or as an example. You can see the difference in the attitude and the motive that these two people have. Even when Paul began to speak and tell this guy, look, here's the problems. Here's some things I've went through. Look, I know they're trying to say they're good because of what they've went through. And he says, I'm speaking as a fool here, but I've went through just as much as they have, and it ain't done me no good. And that's what the point Paul's making. This Pharisee here, that's not the way he's coming at it with the motive. He's coming out with the attitude of this right here. God, look at me. I don't do this. I don't do this. I'm not like these people are. I'm not even like this publican over here. I am a good guy, Lord. I fast twice in a week. And when you see something like that, and when our motive is to that point, what we need to realize is we're going at it all wrong. We're just self-righteous. We think we're better than everybody else. We think we're doing something better than what somebody else is, and that God ought to bless us because of it. And when we get to that attitude, we definitely need to be fasting, and we definitely need to humble ourselves. Now, look over in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says this, Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, when he's talking about fasting over here, he says all these hypocrites over here, what they were doing is they wanted people to see them fast so they'd think they were spiritual. Now, people may realize you're fasting. People may realize you're giving money to the church. People may realize you're doing some spiritual things. That does not mean that you have the wrong motive. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it says don't stand out there on the street corner and lift up your voice there and be praying just to be seen of men. He's not telling you not to get out on the street corner. He's telling you don't get out there to be seen of men. And there's a difference. Now, what people do is they'll try to twist the Bible up, like right here, and try to say, you know, if you're going to use the same idea, the same wisdom here, you're trying to figure out to keep somebody from preaching on the street, saying, well, Jesus Christ said don't get out on the street and pray these long prayers to be seen of men. You shouldn't even be out on the streets. Then if you use the same wisdom in this verse, you'd say, well, God don't want you to fast. But he does want you to fast. He just don't want you to fast to be seen of men. You get out on the street corner, he don't want you out there just to be putting a feather in your hat and all that stuff. He wants you out there for a reason. He wants you out there to be begging them to come in. Go out to the hedges and the highways and compel them to come in. And so it's all got to do with attitude. And the only person that knows whether you're doing it right or doing it wrong is yourself. If I see someone on the street corner, I don't know if they're doing it to be seen of men or if they're really wanting somebody to get saved. I have no idea, but they do. And this fasting is between them and God. And fasting the same way. If I find out somebody's fasting, I don't know if they're trying to tell me just so they can be seen, so they can make me think something good of them. Because I'll be honest with you, if I found out somebody was fasting, I would think something. I'd think that's a good thing. I would be impressed. I'd be like, well, you know, that's a good thing. Maybe they'll get something accomplished. So he says, you have your reward here on heaven. Now look over in Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7. I'm just going right now, going through some wrong ways to fast. That if you decide to fast and a person needs to, Paul was involved in it. And Jesus Christ there was talking about Pharisees. He didn't say not to do it. It's definitely a doctrine that needs to be done. But we don't want to do it the wrong way. In Isaiah 58, we saw that they were doing it their way, the way they wanted to do it. And that's the way a lot of Americans are. We created God the way we want that God to be. In Matthew 6, they were doing it to be seen of men. In Luke 18, he was self-righteous and he was just doing it as a list to show his spirituality. Now in Zechariah chapter 7, look at verse 5. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 5. We'll start in verse 4. He says this, Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even unto me? And when ye did eat and when ye did drink, Did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Now, the point is this right here. The Lord's saying, tell these guys, yeah, they're fasting, but they're just doing it for themselves. They ain't doing it for me. And so what you got to realize is if a man's going to embrace the doctrine of fasting and say, listen, I need to get fasting as a part of my life, you need to realize that you got to be humble and that you got a problem. That spiritually you need awakened, that you need something changed in your life because you're a bad person. And when you get into that point right there and realize, look, there ain't no power in my life on preaching, or there ain't no power in my testimony anymore. I used to give my testimony, people would get saved, or I used to give my testimony, and I could feel the power with people. They would be more interested in wanting to listen to me about Jesus Christ. And you may have lost power, or you may have lost some spirituality yourself, or whatever it is. You got to realize I'm a bad person. You understand what I'm saying? You're bad. And then you look at God and you say, God, I want to fast because I want to get things back to where they used to be. That's the right attitude. Any other attitude besides that right there, and you're wrong. Okay? You're wrong. And you're going to the whole fasting ain't even going to help you. You got to have the right motives when you do it. Now, look over in Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. I'm going to show you some reasons why you fast. Go back to Esther. Go over to Esther chapter 4. It ain't always because you're a bad person. Sometimes it's because you can't take care of a situation on your own and you're realizing you're going to depend upon the Lord. Now, Lester Roloff, it's been said that Lester Roloff would fast for 21 days. 21 days, he'd go up into a mountain there and get along with God for 21 days there with a jug of water, and that's all he'd do is fast. So what was he doing? He was looking for some direction from God. He was in the middle of a bad situation there in Texas. People were lying on him. They were trying to put him in jail. He was losing the ministry that he had where he was trying to do something for God. And Lester's sitting there. He don't know what to do. He don't know what to do. In today's time, with all these opinion polls and call-in shows, everybody's opinion matters. You can call in and say, well, I just think you ought to do this. I just think you ought to do this. Or I think this or I think that. And we've all done it and we're all guilty of it. But when you get close to God and you've seen God and you've seen God work in your life, you don't even want to make a step without doing something, especially when you see how serious situations are. And Lester Roloff there was in those situations down in Texas, and before he would make a decision, before he'd decide what he was going to do, he'd get off and get along with God. And when he'd get along with God, he'd find out, you know what, God, I need you to be big for me on my behalf in this situation. In Esther chapter 4, verse 16, you know the story here. Esther, she got to go to the kingdom, into the kingdom as the queen there, and she had it made. She had somebody else take care of her. She had somebody else raise her, taught her right. She did taught her how to live right. God took her out of that little house, and then he moved her into the kingdom. Made her the queen over all those people there. And then when she got there, what she got was she got to where she was just a little bit passive. She was just a little bit filled up with, okay, everything's good. I'm just going to lay back. I'm gonna eat, drink, and be merry, and I ain't going to worry about nothing. And then there's a big problem there. Mordecai goes to her and says, listen, we need you to go to the king. And she starts worrying about her position. She's worrying about dying in that position. Even though God got her to a position where she's at, then when she was there ready to do something, then she didn't want to do nothing. She didn't want to risk losing what she had. And that's the way we are. We'll get in situations where God will give us a job. We'll pray for a job. And we'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray and we'll pray. And God will bless us. He'll give us a job. Then we'll get in a situation there and then we'll have the fear of man. And we'll worry about being a witness like we're supposed to be a witness. Or we'll worry about things and we'll begin to compromise and act like that's, you got to live, you can't be a holy Joe. You can't be holier than thou and all this stuff. But what happens is God's put you in a position you prayed for, and we're excited about being there, and we like it, and we don't want to give it up, and we'll have the fear of man. That's where Esther was at. She's sitting there. God's got her as the queen over that whole kingdom. And Mordecai says, I need you to go in the king. She's worried about dying. And then basically what Mordecai tells her is you can do what you want to, but you'll die just like the rest of us, and wakes her up and gets her realizing that she needs to go in there to the king. And in verse 16, she says, all right, I'm going to go do it. In verse 15, she says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days nor a day. Let's see, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now you see what happened to Esther there. She realized, hey, you know what? I am in a situation here where I need to go to the king. But she also realizes the situation she's in, and she needs God on the scene. And it ain't like, you know, well, won't you call your senator and you go call your congressman and you go do this and you work around this and you call Jim Bob and Joe Bob and Billy Bob and get them to talk to Jim Bob and get them over here and start working everything out on themselves. As soon as she realized what kind of situation she is in and realized, you know what, if God don't work here, I'm in a mess. I'm going in here against the law to try to talk to this king. And if he don't hold out that scepter, I'm dead. You say, what is that? That's a serious situation. And what did she do? She wanted God to help her. And she said, listen, it ain't got the fact to do I'm a great faster. That ain't the problem. That ain't what she's doing. God, I fast twice a day. That wasn't her attitude. Her attitude was, oh God, I need you. And I'm going to afflict my soul, God, because I know, God, you'll answer this. You said you would. You are a great God. That's the attitude she's going in there on. And she says, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to fast. And then she had the attitude, if I perish, I perish. She resolved to the situation, well, God, you've got me here. And if this is the way I'm supposed to go out, then I'm going to go out this way. And I'm asking you, God, I'm fasting for you for 3 days and three nights. I want you on the scene, God. I want you on the scene. That's the attitude. That's the right way to obtain favor with somebody. That's to obtain favor with somebody. And, you know, you get in a situation at work. You and another person may have a problem and a conflict and you can't get along or something's going on and you don't know how to get past it. You know what? You ought to fast over it. You say, why? Because that's scriptural. That's why. Here she is. She's going in under this king. She's trying to obtain favor with this king. And she's fasting, and God brought her into favor with that king. Now, look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now, with Esther, it turned out right. It turned out right. It turned out good. She said, look, God, if I perish, I perish. She didn't perish. Now, that's the story that we want to go to because we like that and because it's got a better outcome. But over here in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you got a problem. David had sinned. And with that sin, David had some judgment coming. And David realized this judgment was coming. But he also knew his God. And he knew his God was long-suffering. He knew he was merciful. And he knew that if anybody was going to give him a chance, it'd be God. And 2 Samuel chapter 12, you know the story there. David commits adultery. And in 2 Samuel 11 and 2 Samuel 12, David or Nathan comes to David and tells him, thou art the man. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he gets told that the kid that Bathsheba had was going to die. And then we look in verse 16, 2 Samuel 12, 16. It says, David therefore besought God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not. Neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. And so what you see with David right there is he made a mistake. And he had judgment coming. And David knew he had judgment coming, and he wasn't bitter against God because he knew he had judgment coming. But he did do this. He realized he had a merciful God and that God's long-suffering. And he said, God, you know what? I know how I am. And he got down and he prayed and he asked God. He said, God, listen, please, please, just take care of this situation. And he fasted there for 7 days. And when he got done, guess what? The child died. You say, why? Because you reap what you sow. That's why. And sometimes judgment comes. Sometimes it's like Esther and the situation works out. She said, if I perish, I perish. And it worked out for her. You look over here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. David's there and he's begging God. But it didn't work out for David. And as Christians, we got to realize, you know what? Sometimes it don't work out. Sometimes God gives us what we deserve. Remember over there in Daniel, the three Hebrew children. Remember what they said? that king's sitting there, and he's making fun of them basically and saying, listen, if your God's so good, then you better get him to take care of you because you're getting ready to go in a fiery furnace. And they said this, we're not careful to answer thee this matter, O king. And he said, well, our God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we ain't bound down. Whether he delivers us or not, it's not got to do whether we're bound down or not. Our job is not to bow down. And God showed up for the children of Israel, the three Hebrew children there. Now, it don't always work that way. Sometimes you stand up from God, you don't compromise, and God takes your job anyway. Or you do what you're supposed to be doing, and it still, and you try to get God to get on the scene, and it don't work out because of something we've done ourselves. And that's just the way it is. Well, you know, you reap what you sow. But because of judgment's a good reason a person needs to be fasting. Just because you've realized you got it coming, hey, you got a good God. He's merciful, and he wants to be good to you. So you need to realize you need to fast when you think you got judgment coming. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You know, Wednesday night I was talking about trust and teaching on trust Wednesday night and talking about how fear and trust don't coincide. They don't coexist together. They're not together. You can't have them together. You've either got fear or you've got trust. And it's a good message and it's the truth, but still we are flesh and we get scared. We get worried. And when you get worried, you need to fast. When you get worried about something or you're scared about something, that's a good opportunity to fast. We looked at the wrong ways of fasting, and now we're looking at the right ways. You do it for specific reasons, to obtain favor with somebody, because of judgment. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you see somebody fasting, and the reason they're fasting here in 2 Chronicles is because of fear. It says this in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You see there, he sees the situation, he sees what's coming up, and he's afraid. You say, he shouldn't be afraid. You know, he shouldn't be afraid. You need to cast out fear and all this. Well, he is afraid, and we all get afraid. And when you do, there's something you ought to do. It says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And sometimes when you get scared of the situations you have in life, things going on in your life, you don't know what's going to happen, you're afraid of the situation that's coming up, you don't know how to handle a situation, whatever's happening, you know what you need to do? You just need to get down and begin to seek God. You say, well, how do you seek God? What do you mean, seek God? You seek Him by fasting. Right there, it's what it says. Look in verse 3 again. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So it is a New Testament doctrine. It's something that we're supposed to be involved with. But what you need to do is you need to realize why we do it and how not to do it the wrong way. And so you got to have the right motive when you're doing it. And you need to do it with the right motive. How you do it with the right motive is doing it for a specific reason and realizing how good God is and how little you are. Now comes up the question about time length. How long do you fast? I mean, how long does a person fast? I mean, Moses and Elijah fasted, and the Lord fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's supernatural. That's God supernaturally taking care of somebody. You don't need to fast that long. You'll die. You'll die if you go that long. And you don't need to do that. You know, when I was talking about doing this on a Wednesday night before, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know when it was, but a lady came up to me after church and she said, I fasted for a whole year one time. I said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't, whatever, you know, I didn't know what she's saying, what she's talking about. But then she comes back and she says after that, she goes, you know, but I ate candy bars, you know, every now and then. And so I never did, could figure out what she's talking about, But the point is this right here. There is, you know, there's some certain time limits here. And the way Satan is, he'll get around if you're going to try to do something right. He'll get in the middle of it and try to mess up your motive. Or he'll get in the middle of it and try to get you to compare yourself to somebody else, how much they're fasting, and what's right and what's wrong. Well, he fasted 7 days and he only fasted 5. Who's more spiritual? You get all that stuff going on. But the point is this right here. Number one, you shouldn't be trying to let everybody else know you're fasting. And number two, it's between you and God. And the time length is different at different times. And because of time this morning, I'm just going to give you some illustration. I'm going to give you some verses. In 1 Kings 19, Exodus 34, and Matthew 4, You got somebody that fasted for 40 days. All right, in Judges chapter 20, verse 26, you got somebody that fasted for a half a day from the morning to the evening. And they started at a half a day that morning, and they fasted into the evening. And there is a half a day. In Daniel chapter 6, you had somebody that fasted all night. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, there's not even a time reference given on how long they fasted. In Esther chapter 4, we read a while ago, they fasted for 3 days. In 2 Samuel 12, David fasted for 7 days. In Acts, in the New Testament, in chapter 27, they fasted for 14 days. And so what happens is you realize that there's no set time. There's no set day, amount of time. You know what you can do? You can fast for one meal. You can fast for a meal. Because here's the thing, the devil's going to get on your back and say, God ain't going to bless you. You can't even fast for a whole day. You set out and you begin to fast for a whole day. You mess up halfway through the day and you end up eating. And then you feel bad. Something that started out good, you was trying to do. Then it turns around and you feel bad for breaking your fast. Now, what you need to do is you just need to do the best you can do. And God is not interested in what you can do. He knows all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And you got a situation coming up. You want God on the scene. Just skip a meal. Skip breakfast. You say, well, I tried to skip breakfast, and I did. And then I got to work, and about 7:45, I went and got me something to eat. So what? God sees you're serious. See, that's the whole point. The point is, it's not about how good you are. It's just trying to get God's attention. Just don't quit. You know, okay, so you ate. Big deal. Then say, God, I ate. I know it. I'm going to try to skip. I'm not even going to skip lunch, God. I'm just going to push it back for 2 or 3 hours. Just do something to get God's attention, to show Him you're serious. And just if you mess up, tell Him you're sorry. That's all you can. Don't let the devil get on you and mess you up when you're sitting here with the right motive, really trying to get God on the scene, and then let the devil make you think it's all dependent upon you. It's dependent upon God, which is why you're starting to fast in the first point. Now, so when it comes to the time length, don't even worry about it. Now, the second thing is this right here. What about performing it? What about performing it? Well, in Acts chapter 27, it was just food. That's all it was. They were drinking water. They were drinking stuff. So you can fast and you can still drink juice, or you could drink chocolate milk. You say, yeah, but I just don't think that would count. See, that's the whole point. There we go. The Scripture says they were just, all they were doing was not eating. They were drinking something. And when a person decides to fast, it's between them and God. It ain't got nothing to do with whether or not we think it's the right way to do it or whether we don't. We got to go by Scripture. What saith the Lord? What saith the Scripture? In Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, it was food and water both. In 1 Corinthians 7:5, it was sexual relations between a husband and a wife. They were abstaining from that. In Matthew chapter 6, it was the appearance of fasting which was bad. Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, you know what they were doing? They were keeping themselves from music and from sleep. They fasted by keeping themselves from music and sleep. And so basically what you realize is, when it comes to the sexual relations part there, it comes to keeping music away from them, it's sleep away from them, it's food away from them, it's water away from them. What you begin to realize is it's the flesh. It's denying the flesh. The flesh gets control of us. And when we begin to take something that's an idol to us that we can't do without, and food and water is something big that we just got to have. We love to eat and we love to drink. And God says, if you can start doing without some stuff, pushing you away from, you'll get my attention. You'll get my attention. And that's the way you perform it. Now, what does it produce after you do this? What does it produce? And you know the importance of it. The importance is this right here. If I said, okay, if I said, Brother Davey, I got something for you. I've got a $100 bill. Now, that would be good, wouldn't it? If it's real, it wasn't counterfeit, that'd be great. And I gave you an opportunity to take a $100 bill, or I actually did have a money tree that grew $100 bills. Now, you ain't going to get a $100 bill right now, but if you work this thing out, once you get it cultivated and it starts growing, it starts working, it's growing $100 bills. Now, obviously, which one would he take? He'd take this one over here because of what it produces. Now, we go through life where we want one thing fixed, one thing fixed, one thing fixed, and in the flesh, we try to work it that way and try to work something out. But what happens is we can't make ourselves be spiritual. Spirituality is just bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That's what it is. If you want to know whether or not you're spiritual or not, we were talking Wednesday night, and I remember one time when I was first getting in church, I walked up to Brother Gary Boyd, and I didn't know, you know, what spirituality was, and I heard people talking about these different people that's spiritual. We was at work, and I was thinking about it and just getting it in my head and thinking, well, Well, what does it matter? How do you know if you're spiritual or not? And what, you know, and all that stuff. And so I just went down to where he's working at, and I walked up to him. I said, "Hey, Gary." And he looked at me. I said, "Are you spiritual?" He looked at me with a look like, "What? Where'd that come from? What are you talking about?" You know, and you ain't supposed to tell people you're spiritual. If you say I'm spiritual, that means you ain't spiritual. I didn't know all that stuff. I was young. I just wanted to know. I'll never forget that look. He just looked at me, cock-eyed. I'm thinking, I just turned around and walked off. I thought I shouldn't have probably asked that question. But you ain't got to ask nobody whether you're spiritual or not. You can tell. Are you producing love, joy, peace? Are you long-suffering, gentle, good? Meekness, temperance, faith. Hey, if you're doing that, you're spiritual. If you're not, if you're gossiping and you're backbiting, you ain't reading your Bible, you ain't praying, it's all about you, you're mad at everybody, bitter, complaining, griping, then you're not spiritual. It's pretty easy to figure out. Now, the real illustration I gave you about the Dollar Tree is this right here. You'd rather have something that's going to produce something over and over and over and over and over. And that's what fasting does for you. What does it produce for you? What does it make for you? What does it do in your life? And look over in Psalm chapter 35, and I'll show you some things that it produces. Psalms 35. Psalm 35, it gives you your prayer back. You got a bad prayer life? You ain't praying? Fast. Tell God, I'm not praying like I should, God. I need my prayer back. I need to pray, and I know I'm not praying like I should. Psalm 35, look at verse 13. He says, "But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth." He said, "I humbled my soul." You see there, he's hitting his soul again. "With fasting, and my prayer returned in mine own bosom." Now, what happens here is you've got a problem with your prayer. You're wanting it to accomplish some things. You're wanting to get back with a prayer life. Fast if you got a problem with it. God will get you started back. That's what it produces. Just like that Dollar Tree producing dollar bills. Fasting will produce that. Now, when you look at power, you want power in your life? You say, "Well, I don't know if I want..." You should have power in your life. You should have it with your testimony. You should want it with if you're ministering, if you're witnessing, or any of that stuff right there. Dwight L. Moody said this right here. Dwight L. Moody believed that the power of the Holy Spirit had been too much overlooked, as though it were not practical. He wrote this, "The result is lack of power in testimony and work. If we would work, not as one that beats the air, but to some definite purpose, we must have this power from on high. Without this power, our work will be drudgery. With it, it becomes a joyful task, a refreshing service." In other words, if you've got the power of the Holy Spirit on you, look over in Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. If you've got the power of the Holy Spirit in you, then it just changes your whole Christian lifestyle. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 verse 1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered." So here the Lord is. He's up there, and he's going up there for the Holy Ghost, and he's fasted for 40 days. Now look down in verse 14. Look what it says in verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee." You say, what happened? He fasted for 40 days. He went through some temptations, and he beat the temptations with the Scripture. You say, what happened? He got the power. He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say down there, look in verse 32, Luke 4:32. It says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." And you begin to see that, look at verse 36, "They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." You know, fasting produces power in your life. You need power. You need prayer, and you need power. And look back over in Ezra. I'll show you one other thing, and we'll finish right here. Ezra chapter 8. Go back to Ezra chapter 8, where we were at earlier. Ezra chapter 8. And what the deal is in Ezra chapter 8 here is you got somebody that's looking for the will of God in their lives. You looking for the will of God in your life? You should be. You should be presenting your body as a living sacrifice, trying to find out what your will is in your life. You need to know what God wants you to do. Should you live here in Scott County? Should you stay in Scott County? You got decisions coming up that you need to make. You need to know which decision to make. You need to know which way to go. God called you to Africa. You think He has, you need to pray about it. You need to know what's going on, and you need to fast to get the answers. Look in Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the Bible says this, "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God." Why? "To seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." And you see there in Ezra chapter 8, what he was wanting is he wanted to know, "God, which direction am I supposed to go here?" He was looking for direction. He was looking for illumination in the light. He was looking for some light in the direction of his way he's supposed to go, decisions he's supposed to make. And what we do is we make decisions based on counsel, what's better for us, money situation, ease and comfort, or stuff like that, and never one time ever ask God what we're supposed to be doing. Now, if you want to know what you're supposed to do, God shows right here in Ezra chapter 8. All you got to do is get you down there, sit beside yourself, and fast a little bit. And so what does fasting produce? It produces prayer, it produces power, and it produces having your path illuminated. And we all need that stuff. And so when it comes to fasting, we need to know this. We got to have the right motive, all right? There's a wrong way, and there's a right way. And then when it comes to the time length, you know, that's between you and God. And when it comes to performing it, you know, that's between you and God. It may be food. It may be doing without water. It may be just food only. It may be sexual relations. It may be music. It may be doing without sleep. You may be standing up all night long in a prayer meeting and just getting a hold of God. There are all different kind of ways you can do it. But if you do it, I'll guarantee you this, if you do it with the right motive, it'll produce something for you in your life that you need. All right, let's take a break.